Good morning. So, kind of what we've been talking about series-wise is we just finished our two books on First and Second Timothy, and we're kind of taking a hiatus from going through series and just talking about this passage about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that's just kind of what I'd be talking about today. And to give a little bit more brief backstory of where they are in Matthew 6 is so. It's Jesus is the one that's saying this verse or this passage, and it starts out with the Sermon on the Mount, and he's been going through, and this is kind of like another part of this sermon that Jesus is preaching. And right before this sermon or this passage of verses 25-34, he's talking in verses 19-21, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. And this passage is more about like materialism, about how there are people that will look to riches and all their worth and their value and see that as like their greatest treasure, like the thing that they've been building up their whole life, and that's like their moat of security. And it's kind of like a warning, like don't fall into this lie that says like as you hoard up more riches and as you hoard up more treasures, that those are the things that will fulfill you. But this passage is a little different. But it talks about kind of similar things. When we start off in verse 25, it says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And it says, like, do not be anxious about these things. And I think it's interesting that he brings up these things because these are all like very big necessities that everyone needs in their life. Like everyone in this world needs to eat, everyone needs to drink. And clothing it's a part of necessity. You need that to live a normal social life, especially during that time. It says that like a man's cloak is so essential to his day-to-day life that if he doesn't have a cloak on, then it's as if he's naked. And so if you're worrying about what clothes you have on or what foods you can eat and what like when you're gonna drink next. It's basically like, oh, like I'm just trying to survive, you know. What's like my next meal? What's my next time I can drink water? And what's the next time that I cannot be naked so I can be part of this world? And these are all necessities. And I think it's so interesting that Jesus is bringing up saying, like, do not be anxious about these things. Like, is not life more than food? And he kind of dives into more about what he's saying, what he means by this. And in verse 26-29, he says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like these. And Jesus is bringing up like two analogies of like what, like why they should not be anxious. And he looks like, look to the birds or the animals that are in the fields. Like humans, they plant, they grow, and they sow food, and they can save and do all these things. But if you look at the birds, God is saying he's painting a picture of like, look at how I provide for these birds and these animals. They are not anxious. They don't have to toil. They don't have to work. They live a part of an ecosystem where I have created, and it is a beautiful way that I have provided for them. You know. And I think the second analogy is the one that's my favorite. It says the lilies. The significance of these is that lilies are not flowers that they normally planted. They were found in the fields and the valleys. It says that normally they would be found within thorns and within the wilderness. And I think when the people that were listening to a sermon will look at it and say, like, wow, like I see those lilies just in the wild, you know? They're just growing on the sidewalk. They're almost like weeds. You know, no one's cultivating them, no one is purposely planting them. They're growing just on their own because of the way that God has provided for these. And I think he's painting a beautiful picture of how like Jesus is reminding these people, like, look around you. I am the one that orchestrates everything to come into fruition. You know, in the wild, in the wilderness, where it feels like there's no laws or no standing, I am the one who has beautifully orchestrated all things to work together for my good. And he says this beautiful line. It's like, are you not more than these? Like, do you not know, like, oh, I care for the birds, I care for the lilies, but you're a child of God. How much more would I care for you? How much more will I make this world work in a way where you will be able to survive and be fruitful? And he dives more into that in verses 30 to 31. He says, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? It's like, so if the glory and the provision that God has shown to all creation, like, how much more will he do for you? You know, how much more does the Lord love you than these things? You are no less than a son and a daughter of the living God. Like, you have been made in his image. You have been bought with a price. He's deemed you worthy enough to give his one and only son for you. And it's a reminder of, like, do you remember your identity? Like, why are you living as if that our Father in heaven does not know you? Why are you living as if our Father in heaven does not know the things that you need? He knows that you need food. He knows that you need water. He knows that you need to be clothed. And he knows that you need so much more than those things to live a happy and fruitful life. And he's saying, like, if I provide and I create a world where all these things can live, how much more will I do for you, my child? And I think it is such an exciting moment where they are, he is like telling them to open their eyes to live a life of faith. To believe that, do you really believe that God is a God in heaven who knows your afflictions, knows what you need, and cares for you in a way where he wants to provide those things? And he's saying, like, just as the birds and the lilies do not worry about whether there will be food to eat or water or sun to come, you should also have faith to know that God will provide a way for you in a way where you can live a life of being a son and a daughter. And he rounds out this passage in verses 32 to 34. It says, for the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And I think this is kind of targeting, like, this big idea of what we value and what we view as the world as security and as provision. Like, everyone else in the world will look to provision and say, like, oh, food, water, clothing, shelter. Those are the things that we need, and we need to fight for those things. And God is saying, like, yes, those things are important, but you need to know that it is from my lips and my hands that those things are coming to. And he's saying, like, that is the cure for anxiety. Like, knowing that there is someone who is in control of everything. And he's addressing, like, oh, like, the reason why this world is so anxious is because they feel like they're the masters of their own lives. They feel like there's no one in control, that they need to fight for what's theirs. But God is saying, like, no, there's so much freedom when you come to know the truth, and that is, I am the one that's orchestrated all things. And that gives you the freedom to enjoy and live your life to the fullest without feeling that you need to be the master of everything. And I just want to address, like, I feel like when I used to read this passage, it felt so contradictory to me, because I felt like this meant, like, oh, like, I guess I don't need to do anything, you know? God will just give me everything I need, you know? I just need to pray all day, and, like, everything else is just going to work out. But I think that's a misconception of what we view as security, and also misconception of what we view this passage to be. I was reading this commentary, and it was saying something kind of funny. It was saying, like, you don't see birds just having their mouths open, waiting for food to come in their mouths. Like, no, like, they have to go and find their food, and they have to live in the wild, do all these things, and same for all the other animals. And similarly, he said, like, God will provide you the things you need to do, but that doesn't mean you can be lazy. He says not to be anxious, but he said not to be careless. You know, I think this is the way where God gives you the freedom to work hard to provide for yourself and your family, to pursue the things that you need to pursue, your responsibilities, and do well. And without being anxious, like, oh, if I don't do these things, I'm going to die. Like, no, like, God has given me this job, this education, and all these things, and I can fully enjoy that, and that's worship to him. There's this more on that commentary. It was pretty funny, actually. He was saying, like, I've seen people say, like, oh, should I seek honoring God or honoring my wife? And the commentator said, like, no, like, you honor your wife because you honor God. They're not binary. And I think that's the crux of what I feel like this passage is saying. Like, it's not saying that, like, the only thing you do is just sit down and you pray 24 hours a day. Like, maybe if that's what you're called to do, but I think it's meaning for more of a, like, a state of mind, you know? Everything that you do flows from the state of being like, oh, like, I am seeking the kingdom first. That's my first step before I do everything. As I learn to know my identity, that God is the God that is in control, as I learn my identity, that God is the God who loves me and cares for me, it's from those things I can do everything else that I need to do. And I was just like sitting on this, like, what does this really mean that God is my provider? Because throughout the text is saying, like, look at the birds, look at the lilies, look how I provide for you. And like, what does that really mean? And I think I came down to like, oh, like there's two ways for me that it speaks to me. You know, the first is, you know, just a literal way that it's written, like physically. God is saying like, yes, like I do provide for you physically, like everything that you eat, everything that you drink, all the clothes and the shelter you have all came from what I have given you. And we should worship and thank him for that. And I think when God says like, I'll provide for you and I'll satisfy you, I think that's so contradictory to what the world will say, what satisfies you. Because the world is going to say like, oh, I am satisfied when I have this much net worth. Like I will be satisfied if I can eat this much or if my house is this big. God never promises a lavish life, but he promises a life of fruitfulness and satisfaction. But it's different from the satisfaction I think the world is preaching to us every day. Because I think like the more I'm working, the more I meet with people in different stages of life, I realize like there is this grand like idea within like corporate America that says like, oh, if you have this title, like you'll be finally happy and like you'll be satisfied. There's nowhere else to go. Like if you have this much money, you'll be satisfied and there's nothing else you would want. If you live in this kind of house, like there's nothing else you would want. But I realize like no matter what stage in life they are, like no matter how much money they have or how they live, they're still so anxious and they're never satisfied. And it's a reminder to me, like, no, pure joy, pure satisfaction, pure nourishment does not come from those things. Those things are important, yes. Like, I need food to eat, water to drink, and a house to live in. But I realize, like, there is a reason why Jesus is saying it's not life more than food. Like, as important as those things are, like, we are called to tap into something else that will satisfy our needs in a bigger level. And our physical needs are just a small part of what he is trying to satisfy within our hearts. And I think there's a verse that I always overlook, but I think it's so exciting for me. It says, is not life more than food? No, not that one. Sorry. I lost my track. But it says, it's that one. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And it is a very big distinction that he's making between what separates us from the birds and the lilies. The birds and the lilies, all they need is food, you know, water, shelter, and nourishment to just live. But he's saying like you as humans, you as a son and a daughter, you need so much more than these things. And that is why he says like, oh, like those things are important, but are there not more important things that you need to satisfy your life? It's like God is saying like, yes, like food and water, good. Those things are good. You should work for that. And I will provide those things for you. Yes. But I've come to be your savior of so much more things. Like as much as we need food, water, and clothing, I think we also need a savior and a redeemer. We need a God that says that we need a God that tells us that he loves us and knows us. We need a God that reminds us of our identity, that is not of a slave, not as a beggar, but as a son and a daughter in the kingdom. And I think those are the things that our generation is looking for the most. I read an article that said that millennials are the most anxious generation in decades. The statistics shows that it's an 80-year high of how many people are in need of emotional support or clinically anxious, like socially anxious. And we live in a world where everyone's filled with anxiety, stress, and a lost sense of being. And we try to fill that with more tech jobs, more identities. But God is saying, like, all those things that you put your security in, like, they will never satisfy you. They will never nourish you. Those are not the things that I've come to redeem you of. And I think the thing that Jesus is saying when he says, like, first seek the kingdom of heaven is, it's a simple gospel. It's nothing fancy. It's nothing crazy. It's nothing exciting. It is just a simple gospel that, like, you were lost, but now you are found. That you were dead in your sin, but the Lord Jesus has come and redeemed you. There's a God in heaven that knows you and loves you. That you don't need to strive and toil for acceptance anymore. That you are so loved by the King that is in heaven. And it's in that moment of knowing your meekness and your identity in God that you are just so satisfied. And it's a satisfaction that goes beyond having your stomach filled or your quench, you know. Is an identity that allows you to live your life to the fullest in the way that God has called you to be. And that's kind of where I want to camp out at. I know a lot of us are graduating, or some of us here because they're in college and you're entering into a new stage of life. Some of us are going to summer, or maybe if you're working, just summer is a time for more family plans and vacations. And I think before we went into kind of another series, we just wanted to just refocus our lives on what everything is really about. And it starts with, I think, just a simple gospel. That before everything else, you need to remind yourself that I am the one that needs the gospel the most. I am the one that needs to be reminded that my God loves me and cares for me. That he knows that the needs of my heart and my body, and he does not neglect me. That he has come to redeem and save me and bring me a helper and a friend that I can really dive into. And I want us to really settle into that as we head off into a new season. And I was thinking about this a lot. And something that I've been trying to do whenever I sit and read a passage these days is kind of like, how do I apply that in my life today? Like, as a, you know, in 2019, as an Asian American young man, like, what does this mean for me today? Like, how do I live out a life where I know my identity, where I'm seeking the kingdom first in my own personal life and my community around me? And oftentimes I think it's very simple things. It's me just waking up in the morning and just refocusing my life and saying, like, God, like, I'm going to work, but that doesn't define me. Like, I thank you for providing for me. Like, what an honor it is for me to be there. It's finding ways for me to be satisfied with what God has given me right now and not being anxious about wanting more things because I feel like I deserve it more. It's about dying to my flesh and my greed and realizing that he has already provided so much for me, and I'm so satisfied. And I think it's from that place of learning that my satisfaction does not come from material things or how much security I feel like I have with my job or my friends, but it's come from the security of knowing that my God in heaven is the one that's in control. And I learned not to be anxious and at peace and find joy in the things that I do. And I think it's from that place of self-reflection that you're allowed to spread that joy and that satisfaction and that nourishment to everyone around you. Because through this passage, we see that God cares about your needs. He's reminding you, like, I care that you need food. I care that you need water. I care that you need shelter. I care that you need a savior. I care that you need love. I care that you need a savior to redeem you of your sins. And as we come to know that, I believe it is also our challenge to share that great love and that great provision to everyone around us as well. Because later in the passage, it talks about the great commissions. Go and make disciples of all nations. It says the first greatest commandment is to love your God with all your heart. And the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. And I think it's always a natural reaction as we come to know who is the one that provides for us, that we share who the provider is for everyone else. And there is such a need for that in our world today. There are people that are hungry, that are broken, that are disenfranchised. And we need to remind ourselves, like, as much as God cares for me, I know that he cares for those people as well. As much as God cares for my well-being, about whether I'm fed, whether I'm clothed, he cares for my brothers and sisters that maybe are less fortunate as I am. And to go even further, I believe he's saying like, oh, I see a generation that's anxious, that has lost their sense of being. Their security comes from how many Facebook likes they have, their social media, their new jobs, and their money, and how so not satisfied they are. And God is saying, like, as much as I've come to meet you and your needs and freed you from those addictions, I want you to spread that glory and that patience and that joy that I've given you to all your brothers and sisters around you. But I think it always comes from you knowing that yourself. And as you come to really embody that and know that yourself, you will go out and move and bring that freedom and that redemption to everyone around you, because there is such a need for that. And I think for me, that is what it means for me to seek the kingdom first. And all these things will be added onto me as I come to know the love of the Father, as I come to know Him as a provider, as I come to know that I am the one that is meek, that is broken, that is lost, that needs the gospel, that I am no better than these. That just because I preach on Sundays, I have a good job, does not mean that I make my own blessings and my own gifts. No, everything that I have comes from Him. And when I understand that and I preach that to myself, it compels me to want to do that for my other brothers and sisters as well. So I think I just want to end that, end this sermon, round out just on how we're called to live such a countercultural life. Like against a life that says grades are everything, getting a job right out of college is everything. If you don't have a plan, you're already late. And I think that causes anxiety for every one of us here. But I think just reminding ourselves that at the end of the day, I know that my Father in heaven is in control. And as you live a life of peace and joy and satisfaction that is so different from what everyone else feels, I believe that people will see that, and it's contagious. And so I just wanted this to be a last encouragement of how I think those are just some ways that we can seek the kingdom first and allow other people to join in on this joy and this blessing that we have.